Good to see everyone out this morning. Always wonderful to come together to study, to worship, as we do so every first day of the week, commanded to do so. We gather together midweek class on Wednesdays, but any opportunity we have to gather together in mindset of praising God in songs, mindset of teaching and admonishing one another, those songs, go forth and continue to put God first in our lives, it's always a good thing. We're always looking forward to the opportunity to go forward and be here with each other to praise our God. I'm going to ask that you open up your Bibles and follow along as we go through the lesson this morning. Make sure the truth is being taught, not going forward and adding to or taking anything out of context. Again, always willing to further study anything we do here or talk about if you have any questions about what we have studied. You open your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And read with me verse 4. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Short verse that some of you might have memorized. Or at least you probably haven't memorized it if you didn't even know where it was. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice." I want to ask the question, for our sake, but also looking into the example of the Apostle Paul, going to the scripture reading that Jared had read for us this morning, is how do we rejoice in the Lord always? How do we continue to have that hope? Last week we talked about hope against hope, that point that, you know, we continue to have a hope even though it seems to be a hopeless situation. We looked to the example of Abraham last week and used him as a good example, a hopelessness example, that there shouldn't have been any hope for him to have a child at his age. His wife was done past the age. He never had a child when she was in the age of bearing children. And yet he still had hope. And here, so kind of in the same sense, but in a little different, is how do we continue to have joy? How do we continue to rejoice in the Lord always, in all situations? As we look to this example of Paul, you go back to the scripture reading there in Philippians chapter 1 that Jared had just read earlier as we started into our worship. In verse 13, if you will, jump down with me to verse 13, Philippians 1 and verse 13. It says, "So that it has become evident to the whole place guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of my brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." And so as we look at this verse here, it's letting us know, Paul lets them know right off the bat that he is bound. Right? He is in prison. He is chained. And so he gets caught up. Even the guards know now. He gives us a point just in those verses that we'll kind of talk about throughout the lesson. It is that how does he have joy? He's able to write to the brethren in Philippi and say, "I have joy while I'm bound in chains. I'm telling you to go ahead and continue to rejoice, even though I have done no wrong, I have not killed anyone, I have not robbed anyone, I have not go forth and been destructive to anyone's property. I don't deserve to be chained up." But yet he is in prison. Yet he's able to encourage them to rejoice, because he is able to continue to rejoice in the Lord. So I want to look at these points. And again, a reminder to us that we all have something going on in our lives, right? Each and every one of us seems to always have something going on. Even if you're at a moment where things are pretty good, there's just always something in the background, always something going on, always something at least that's going to come up here soon, or that you just got done dealing with. And you get caught up in questioning in those moments, how can I still look for joy? How can I still look to be happy in Christ in these situations? Right? How can Paul do it? How do we do it? We've read throughout the book of James recently in our adult class, going forth and studied the scriptures there. And it starts off with a point, and there's other verses that go right along with it, making it clear that we all go through a variety of trials, that we go through our sufferings. And yet, even here, it tells them in James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Right? And so here it brings out the point, you are going to fall into various trials. You're going to struggle. You're going to go through different temptations. You're going to go through different things within your life. In fact, if you jumped over to chapter 3 and verse 2, chapter 3 and verse 2 says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. And so here again, it brings out, we all are tempted. We all stumble in a variety of ways, and everybody stumbles with their tongue, with their mouth. So if we know that we're always going to be going through stuff, how do we continue to be joyful? How do you continue to be happy? In Luke chapter 12, sometimes the things we're going through is our own family, right? Luke chapter 12 and verse 51. Luke 12, and looking there and verse 51. Luke 12 and verse 51. Here it reads, it says, do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two, two against three. Father will be divided against son, and son against the father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. It says that the house will be divided. Why? Because in Christ, we will be divided, because people are not going to always accept the Lord. And they're not going to accept your faith in God. They're not going to be happy when you say, I got to go to worship, when they want to go and do something else. They're not going to be happy and they think it's strange of you that you don't go forth and drink with them, that you don't participate in talking and joking about the filthy things of the world, that they think it's strange that you're not willing to do these things, that they think are just the fun things of the world. And so, how do we deal with those situations? How do we deal when we're struggling with our spouse? And to continue to remember that we need to be joyful in the Lord. When you're struggling with your children, that if you have children fall away, again, you go to Proverbs, it tells us how great children are, but that one who has a quiver full of them is blessed by God. But also to the point that when they do not listen and heed to the warning and follow and are good and faithful, but go live a destructive life, that is almost the worst thing. And the one who finds a wife finds a good thing, but one who has a wife that is always nagging is a bad thing. Same thing with husbands. That the husbands can be great, but husbands can be the worst. It's just, if you don't have a good situation at the time and moment, how do you sit there and say, I need to rejoice all? Sometimes it's going to help. Sometimes, I mean, we all, at some point or another, end up being sick. Sometimes we deal with some real bad health issues, and we all each are getting older each and every day, and we deal with more and more as we get older. And so James chapter 5 and verse 13, again, if anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing psalms. If anyone of you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And so, again, we all deal with this. And yet, sometimes when you're going through certain things, it's hard to have a positive thought at all. If you're dealing with a loved one that is suffering and that is in the hospital and just going through our time, how do we rejoice in that? Sometimes it's financial situations, right? Matthew 6, it's telling us, do not worry about what you will wear or what you will eat or what you will drink. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not worry about anything. I'm telling you, when you're tight and you're continuously, you know, if you're at that point where you're living
paycheck by paycheck, or sometimes you're sitting here and you thought you're saving some money up, and then you had to pull out of your savings because you can't seem to stay caught up. And you start to worry. You start to say, how are we going to get by? How are we going to continue? How are we going to make it? And we allow these things to rule our lives. We get caught up allowing it to pull away from the Lord. Again, you look at Paul's situation, that he himself is bound in chains. I want to look at another verse that he talks about his suffering and going forth and being caught up in chains. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. 2 Corinthians 11. So jump up to verse 25 and work our way down to verse 28. 2 Corinthians 11, starting there in verse 25, it says, three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked, and night and day I have been in the deep. And journeys often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of the countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, perils among the false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, and hunger and thirst, and fasting often, and cold and nakedness. Besides these things, what comes upon me, my deep concern for all the churches. Again, how is Paul able to do that? To go through so much, and when you're in that situation, to sit here and say, you know what was on my mind when I had no food for a week at church? You know what was on my mind when I was dealing with brethren who had betrayed me? Church. You know what was on my mind when I was shipwrecked and I might have drowned to death? The church. And yet, even then, he's able to say, rejoice always. Again, I say, rejoice. We'll look at the examples that are brought out as we go back to Philippians chapter 1. Bring out things that Paul kind of makes point to the brethren in Philippi on how he's encouraging them and not discouraging them, as he makes the point that he is still bound in chains. But he took time to remember his past and gives thanks to God for it. And even then, as he takes time to think about his time in past with the brethren in Philippi, you might say that's not the best scenario to say, you know, I remember how good things were. That's what he does, though. Go back to Philippians with me. And if you haven't yet, you might just mark your Bibles in Philippians chapter 1. We're going to turn back to it a few times throughout the lesson. But Philippians 1 and verse 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He thanks God on his remembrance of the brethren. Always in every prayer and mind, making requests for you all with joy. Right, with joy. He prays for them, he remembers them, and he calls the good things, brings joy to them for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And so he recalls the brethren there. He recalls his situation as it was in Philippi. And let's look at his situation in Philippi, though. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and looking there, and in verse 2, it says, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. Now, if he were just sitting and focusing on this time in Philippi, you might get caught up in saying you could focus on that first part of this verse, that he was mistreated, that he suffered, that he was spitefully treated there at Philippi, right? He was in prison then when he was in Philippi, right? That's why we have the example in Acts chapter 16 of the Philippian jailer. Paul was in prison at Philippi. And yet he's able to take time and say, I remember and I count it joy, and you know, he brings out these good points. And that brings joy to him to remember his time at Philippi. And yet he was mistreated there. He was in prison there. He suffered there. But if you take Acts 16 as a good thing to look forward to is that he also converted somebody there, right? As Paul prayed and the walls shook and they were released, their chains were open, the gates were open, and the jailer awakes and sees that it's all open, he's about to take his own life. Paul stops. And he's able to convert this man and his household. The jailer and his family end up obeying the gospel. And then Paul was able to continue to go forth and preach, and that's what he brings out here in 2 Thessalonians 2, right? The end of that verse, it says that even though all that happened, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God much. Though there was much conflict, we were bold to continue to preach. When the opportunity came, I even preached to this jailer. Explained to him why I didn't run, I didn't sit there, and all the rest of the men didn't escape. And then he ended up listening to Paul, listening to the gospel, and chose to obey the gospel, chose to be baptized, and chose to share that with his family. A reason to rejoice, even though when you take time to think about everything that went on there, they suffered also. Going back to Philippians 1, we read that verse 5. As that brings out there, it says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, that they continue to share in their fellowship, continue to share in their oneness and their unity in Christ. That they've all received salvation by the blood of the Lord. Later on in the same chapter, verse 19, it says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Again, as he thinks about the brethren there, he knows that they are concerned for him. He knows that they're going to pray for him. He knows that they've assisted him in the past, right? Chapter 5, as you look there, chapter 5, as he's closing up his letter, in verse 15, it says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessity. So when Paul's going through this, he's saying, I'm bound in chains and I'm caught up, I'm in prison. And yet, I'm going to be able to rejoice because I take time and I remember my brethren in Philippi. I remember that you guys received the truth. I remember I had the opportunity to come and preach to you. And when I did, you guys accepted it. I was bold and you heard the truth and you obeyed the gospel. I was in prison, but I was able to convert this family over here, which is now, maybe probably one of the strongholds there. And so, you have time to remember. And he takes time to remember that they have helped him since. That as he was there, and then he left, and he continued to go preach elsewhere, that they sent assistance to him. That as he was in need, we read about times when he was hungry. We read about the times when he was starving, and that he was shipwrecked, and that he just... They assisted him. Sending him benevolence, sending him some of their contribution that they had gathered together. And so they helped him. And that brings him joy. He's able to have joy because he takes time to remember. And so as we go in bad health, we can remember times of good that God has blessed us for. In bad times with our spouse, we remember the good times that God has blessed us with our spouse. As we might have a time where we might be struggling even with our children, we can remember how they are a blessing, how we have had great joy, that they have, you can remember just the good things that can bring us that joy. And again, always in that mindset that it's in the Lord, that God's the one that's blessed us with those things, with those memories, because God is the one that allowed us to live that life, that we did all these things in His name. So even as we go through hard times with the church, maybe, and struggling, sometimes we go through bad times. We go through a time where we're studying a certain situation because false doctrine has come among us that we're dealing with a brother who's trying to bring in false error that Paul and Peter had to deal with themselves. Yeah. We too will have to deal with that. We too have to deal with that. But we can remember the truth Remember all that the Lord has done for us, and allow that to bring joy to us. Another point to bring out, an example of what Paul had done as he starts this letter off, that he kept his confidence in the Lord. Right? He continued to be confident in the current situation, as at this time and moment, still having hope, still having faith, and still confident in all things in God. Philippians 1, and starting there in verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all the affection of Jesus Christ. With all the affection of Jesus Christ. And so here he says, I am confident. I'm confident in when I came and I began the work, right? Not that he has the power to save anyone. Not that he has the power to make someone obey the gospel. But he knows the truth and has the power to preach it. And so he comes along and he preaches the word of God. He's bold in his teaching. And since he began doing that, he says, I'm confident in what I started, the Lord will finish. He's confident that they are strong in God. And that they can continue to fight the good fight, even if he's not with them. They can continue to live faithfully, even if he's in chains. He's confident that the Lord will continue to be with them, to establish them, and that they will continue to do the work that needs to be done. In chapter 2, if you will, chapter 2 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, and looking there in verse 12, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And so again, he brings out his confidence in them. That even when I am absent, that you will continue to do the work. Even as we dismiss this morning, we go back to our homes, and Lord willing, we'll gather together again this evening, but then we'll dismiss once more, and we'll go back, and we'll start going back our lives throughout the week. Kids going to school, going to work, going to the grocery store, getting things you need, and you will continue faithfully in the service of God. Continue to shine his light. Continue to overcome temptation. Continuing in the salvation. And making sure that you are walking correctly in the path that Christ has set for us. He had confidence in the brethren. Right? And he's confident that the Lord will hold us up. Philippians 4, verses 12 and 13. Philippians 4, verses 12 and 13. Says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's saying, I know how to live in content with whatever God has put in my life. Whether that is I am a free man or I am bound in chains. Whether it is a time and point where I am full because I have plenty of food, or I'm hungry because I haven't had a meal in a day or two. Whether it is that he is, you know, on a safe journey trip and things are going well and he's accompanied by friends, or he is shipwrecked. He knows that he can do all things through Christ. So he's able to continue to be joyful in whatever situation that he is in. It encourages the brethren here to continue to be joyful. And we read it, it's an encouragement to us to continue to rejoice in the Lord. Because he is always there for us. And he is always going to help provide for us. That we need to make sure, as Ephesians 6 tells us to do, to put on the whole armor of God. And that means the whole armor of God, right? That doesn't mean just pick up your shield of faith. Saying, I believe and that's all that I need and I'm going to carry that and I'm not going to study the Word of God to know the truth, to know righteousness, to know the gospel, so that I can have the entire armor of God on. That we're not going to forget the sword, which is the Word of God, right? that is able to, that pierce the heart to the soul to convert others. We need to be confident in God. The way to do that, as we talked about this morning studying 2 Peter, is to make sure that we continue to add to our faith, continue to grow in knowledge, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, and we're to always have those things and not let those things go. We can be confident in the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, and looking there in verses 20 and 21, it says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." And you look at the confidence in those words. Confidence that we need to have in our Lord and our God. Him who is able to exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask for. You think about what God can do to you. He can do anything. And we can do anything in His name through Christ. And I'm not saying here that we do those supernatural things. But we have the faith of the mustard seed, right? If God is with us, then for us, who can be against us? Final point I want to bring out is that Paul continued to have hope. He remembered the past and the good times. He was confident in the present, and he continued to have hope for the future. He continued to have hope for the brethren, even in his sake, that he knew what God had in plan for him, that he would reach a certain place, that he would make it to Rome to preach. But further than that, he had hope for a better place, right? He had hope for a better life after this life here on earth. Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 1, starting there in verse 9. "This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in the knowledge of all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Again, looking forward to the future, that they continue in God, continue in the Lord, continue. Not that, you know, you're doing good, you got love, and you've shown that love to others, but they abound more and more in love and knowledge of our Lord till the day of Christ. Though we may be in bad situations now, we may be suffering because of whatever is going on in your life, we have hope. As we talked about last week, we continue in that hope. The only way to do that, again, that knowledge, that understanding, that we continue in the words of God. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, that we are diligent, right? It says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That as we think about the future, that we continue to have hope, we need to continue in His word. We need to continue to have that in our hearts and our minds at all times. And that will help us to look forward to that day the Lord returns. And we have hope that we're able to overcome these temptations because, one, we take time to look at the situation and know that others have gone through it also. And they have come out on the other end. That we're not alone in the fight. And that the Lord is always on our side. So we sanctify the Lord in our hearts. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. As it reads here, it says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with weakness and fear. And you continue to have that hope because you have sanctified the Lord in your heart, that you have built Him and gained a knowledge. You planted the seed and you watered it and you make sure it got sunlight. You continue to let it grow to that point that just no one's going to be able to take it. No one's going to be able to go forth and steal your faith, steal your hope that is in the Lord in whatever situation you may go through. And so they're going to come and ask you those questions. Why? Why do you still believe? Why do you still have hope? Why do you continue to be faithful to your God? We'll be able to point to Christ. And what He has done for us, we just took time to remember His sacrifice. That we believe that He is going to return one day. And we have hope. Not that we're scared of that, but we look forward to that. That brings us comfort, knowing that Jesus will return. Because of that, we have hope of having a home in heaven. For eternity. And so if you're here this morning and you've had a hard time rejoicing in the Lord, let us look to the Lord and see how it is He can bring us that joy again. Because He's still there for you and He will always be there for you. If you're here without that joy, let us help and assist you as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us pray with you. Let us continue to study with you. Let us know what it is you're struggling with so that we can assist. And if you're here and yet you have not given yourself over to God, not been baptized, washed your sins away, you can come forward and be baptized and wash your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, confessing your faith, and understand that you'll never gain that joy like that. There's no greater joy. In that moment, you know that even the angels rejoice. There will be rejoicing here, there will be rejoicing in heaven. So if you're here and we can assist you in anything, we let you know. Whose hands?